Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
It's been a while since we had a good Johnny Manziel story. Well, thanks to today, we have a good Johnny Manziel story. He goes on Barstool Sports' Bussin' with the Boys podcast, and he talked about how he made, quote, somewhat of a decent living by selling autographed items during his days at Texas A&M. Here he is from earlier today.
This guy comes up behind me. He's like, yo, how would you want to make $3,000? I'll turn around like, yeah, bro, I got like $65 in my bank account. I'm waiting on that, you know, beginning of the month, January stipend check. So I take this guy's number down. We're doing it all sneaky. We don't want to get caught. We're trying to learn from everybody else that's got caught. And, you know, may or may not have gone back to this guy's condo and signed probably 10,000 pieces.
He got it out of you.
He gave me $3,000. I'm signing these autographs, and this other guy who's like bringing the pictures over, he's like, yo, you're getting ripped off. Here's this guy's number. Hit him up. He'll give you $30,000. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to make $3,000 and then $30,000. So this guy pretty much is like, all right, go to this room at the Fountain Blue. All the stuff will be in there laid out. And when you're done, just send me a picture of all of it. I'll give you the code of the safe. The money will be in there. I got to make a somewhat of a decent living in college. And
you know,
we went 9-4 the next
30,000
year.
4 times a year.
We went 9-4 the next year. So if the NCAA wants to take my 9-4 season away and my Chick-fil-A bowl against Duke.
what if the NCAA said, hey, we're taking away your Heisman?
I never took a dollar until after I won the Heisman. And I think my statute of limitations are up, so you can again.
Of all that, there's two favorite parts of this story. My first one is that, how about you go to the hotel room, you sign everything, you take a picture, you send it to me, I give you the combination to the safe, you take the money out of the safe, and then you leave. It's like Ocean's 11.
Yeah. I mean,
was he hearing all that crazy music going in? Was Matt Damon there with a big nose? And he's going, hey, sign everything here. Oh, what's that smell? No, sign everything here. Yes. It was like an Ocean's 11 thing. Go here. Walk in. Sign the item. Send me a picture. I'll give you the code to the safe. And then if it was a real movie, he'd go, no, give me the code to the safe first. Then I sign the items. No, you sign the items first. Then you get the code to the safe. No safe, no items. And then the phone just breaks out, and then someone comes and kidnaps him and brings him to a hotel and forces him to sign things. That was kind of what that story was, man. It was like a real-life thing.
Yeah, there's so much to this, and he is so grossly underpaid. Like, if you're going to take the shot that it's going to cost you the rest of your eligibility, I mean, he completely got ripped. I mean, it's not even funny, you know, for a couple of meals is really all that first deal was. And even the 30,000 is so, so low based on what the secondary market was, because you get $75 for the Heisman inscription, let alone what you're charging for your name. I mean, we're talking $150-$200 per should have been the going rate, because there was no supply of them at that point. Like, he had absolute control. And not that you don't always as an athlete, but other than once you were able to go into the draft and then you have the deal with Panini, you've got to sign so many stickers and cards on, you know, on the surface over the course of the year. You know, the way he's doing it here, I mean, you know what's legit, what's not in the marketplace. And if you're going to go down swinging, like I say, if you're going to fail spectacularly for $30,000, bad job by him.
You talk about a guy who needed an advisor, all right? Honestly, this is why Johnny Manziel failed in the National Football League. Okay, why did he fail? Because when any story came up, and we talk about how guys have entourages and they have people around them and they're bad people because they enable. And look, there's a lot of truth to that. But every time Johnny Manziel got in trouble, whether it was for an autograph thing or whatever, wasn't he always by himself? Or just with a couple of friends? Was he out at a bar? Was he somewhere else? Johnny Manziel had nobody that was able to sit around him and say, hey, dude, don't do this. Go do this. I'm going to be your conscience. I'm going to be the person you pay to be your personal bodyguard and personal angel to tell you what to do and what not to do. Every time Johnny Manziel got in trouble, it was Johnny Manziel and a couple of friends or Johnny Manziel. He's a guy that needed an entourage. He needed a Maverick Carter around him to say, dude, do this, don't do this. You know, he needed that. He never had it. Look at this right here, this story. He only made $3,000. Why? Because a guy tapped him on the shoulder and said, dude, Johnny, come sign stuff for $3,000. Yeah, sure, man, I'll do it. Like, dude, how stupid can you be? You're the first one signing autographs. You need more than $3,000, but you're a kid, so you go, yeah, $3,000. This is where if you had somebody, it would be, no, it's $30,000. Oh, all right, that's fine. I mean, because look at the other guy that says, here's $30,000 for it. You know, go here, go this one, sign this one for $30,000. I mean, this is a reason. The beginning, you see Johnny Manziel right here, didn't have the right people around him to tell him, this is how you act, this is how you go. Because you can't tell me the guy wasn't talented enough to play in the NFL, but he was his own worst enemy. And he couldn't figure out a way, because everything the guy did by himself. And clearly, at some point, there should have been some kind of intervention to go, Johnny, dude, you need somebody helping you out. You can't throw away your chance in the National Football League and everything else. You need somebody to make sure you're doing the right thing. And that never happened. That never happened. So here's Johnny Manziel, 28 years old, no football career, telling stories on Barstool Sports, instead of a guy in the middle of a huge contract extension. People are going, hey, Johnny, you going to win the Super Bowl with the Browns, man? I mean, I know you got the AFC title game a couple of times, but you got to push through and get there. And look, the Jets and Baker Mayfield are coming for you, man. This is going to be some kind of opening week in 2021. That's what his life could be right now. But instead, this is what it is, telling stories about, yeah, I made $30,000, you know, one time for signing autographs. That's why Johnny Manziel's out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the proper extrapolation of you just didn't have the right advisors, right? If you're going to go down that road, it ain't worth it for a couple of bucks, man. Like, it's, you know, the potential risk there. And yes, you'd already won a Heisman if we're to take him at face value, right? If that was the first time and the Heisman was already in the bag, then, like, all you needed to do is Google one thing. And you'd see what something you signed for a kid after an A&M practice was going for, to just know what the market was. Like, I remember when he was in school, there were some things that would start to pop up, and you know, you're talking like $200. But it, to your point, it's the larger issue of, you know, someone looking out, maybe, you know, keeping you from doing it altogether, which is, you know, if you want to go down that road. But now we're talking name, image, and likeness, and it's easier for guys that went through this to open up about it now, right? Because in a month, the game changes, right, to where you'll be able to broker deals and find, you know, the local car wash and car dealers and whomever else if you want to go sit there and sign photos and pose for pictures or whatever else. So I think, you know, he's shedding some light on where the underbelly was while, you know, poking some fun at himself. But also he probably realizes he could have been smarter about it, not just from the cash perspective, but the overall look of things, of maybe getting a little more guidance and a little more stick to it as related to his football side, right? That he shouldn't have been doing this stuff himself. I mean, not that you want to have a bunch of guys on the payroll, but you're the guy answering the call directly? Hey, yeah, mm-hmm. Come to the room. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to tap you on the shoulder. Hey, here. Dude, go to this guy right here. He's going to give you $30,000 right now. All right, I'm going to text him. Don't worry about it. You're all good. I mean, that's how easy it was. No go-between. I'm just going right to Johnny because he's hanging out at a club, and I'm going to give him a drink, and he's going to go, yeah, that's great. I'm like, I like being – I'm a simple guy. I like the simple things in life. I'm not someone that needs a lot. You know, I like to buy hats all the time. I like that. I like new sweatpants. I like all that. But I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's do it. But when you're Johnny Manziel, man, you got to have, okay, you want me to do something, you got to talk to this guy, okay? You got to talk to this guy. And not my dad or not this or not somebody else. No, you got to talk to this guy because he's the one that's going to be the business person. He's going to be the one that's going to get a fair deal for me. He's looking out for me so I can be Johnny Manziel. And really, that's why some people fail, because they just don't have that and they're not ready for adulthood, you know, one way or another. And that was Johnny Manziel. He's going to be 50 years old, and he's still going to be called Johnny, just like Johnny in the Karate Kid. He's still going to be calling him Johnny when he's 50 years old. They call him that in Cobra Kai. And it's going to be Johnny, and he's going to seem like a 50-year-old frat guy. And that's what it's going to be. He's going to be a 60-year-old frat guy and a 70-year-old frat guy. That's going to be Johnny Manziel, because he never got the right ushering into how to be an adult in the national and deal with the expectations of your talent and how to maximize it. He just never had that. I mean, he's going to be 75 years old. Hey, Johnny. Yes, what is it? Johnny, I'm 75. You can call me John. No. You're Johnny. That's what it's going to be. I got a cousin. His name is Jimmy. He's 42 years old. We still call him Little Jimmy. All right, it's still because his dad is Big Jimmy, right? He's Little Jimmy when he was 10. We called him Little Jimmy. We call him Little Jimmy now. He's 42 years old. He's a fireman. He's been a fireman for 20 years. He's Little Jimmy. Hey, Little Jimmy, what's happening? Hey, how you doing? It's sometimes you got to be able to break out from that identity. And Johnny Manziel couldn't do it. Sorry, Little Jimmy.
He'll always be Johnny. It's Uncle Johnny. Tell me a story. Well, you know, I used to get a couple of bucks. Look, I think he's a good storyteller, though. I mean, the guy, if he really wanted to, could jump into a media series pretty fast here. Career, I think. Yeah.
If he likes telling stories like that, sure.
I mean, I don't know how many you got.
He's going to give A&M the death penalty, but he'll tell some really entertaining stories.
Well, I'm sure he's entertaining and all sorts of stuff. And obviously, he comes from money, so that's the other thing. It's not the dollars and cents that he's stressing about, right? Like, this was just an extra, all right, I'll do it so I can do it kind of thing. So, ride the lightning. Just, I always wish we could have seen him actually try to make it as an NFL quarterback and not wash out as he did.
He had his chance. I mean, despite all his problems, though, he had his chance. Every single still people were dying for him to succeed because he was such a cult hero out of Texas A&M and winning the Heisman Trophy and with Cleveland and checking his cell phone on the field before games. I mean, everybody still wanted to see him succeed, and that's what's so baffling about this is that even though he made so many mistakes, it wasn't like you make a couple of mistakes and you're done. And we're going, no, this was, you made so many mistakes, dude, and people still want to see you succeed. They still want to see you do it. That's the hardest part, man. That's the real hardest part about Johnny Manziel.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Lakers have an 8-point lead over Devin Booker. It is 41-33 at halftime. I'll tell you, Booker started out great, but the Lakers were able to reel him in. Now have an 8-point lead over Booker, who has 33, is 7 out of 8 from 3-point range. But unfortunately, that's not how the NBA works. And the Suns as a team have 62 points. It is a 22-point lead for the Suns. But here's a positive for the Lakers. They won the second quarter, 27-26. Okay, yay. They won the second quarter. It happened.
Yeah, that was excruciating to watch if you're a Laker fan or if you're just saying, look, the postseason will be better than the regular season was, right? They're all going to be great games. It's a great timeout. And not so much. LeBron with 14 at the half, 4 of 9 from the field, 4 of 6 from the foul line, but a big minus 12. Schroeder, 1 for 6. Again, $84 million you didn't have to spend. They should send him a big thank you. Maybe one of those, what is it, edible arrangements, right, where you could shape the fruit into something that says goodbye or whatever you want to do with that. But, yeah, the story of the game, obviously, Anthony Davis trying to give it the old college try, part of which I think was to slow down the poison tongues and poison pens that have gone at it hard over the last couple games. What did I say? Fall guy for LeBron James, and there it is. But an absolute burial, and the Suns couldn't miss from three-point range. 12 of 20, Devin Booker 7 of 8, 33 points and a half. It's bad news. He's Chris Paul limited to 11 minutes, 5 assists for him, but Devin Booker only needed to assist on one. Why? Because he's handling all the scoring himself.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a blowout in the second half. It's going to be like, look, the Lakers have figured Booker out, right? With an 8-point lead, I bet this turns out to be like Lakers 85, Booker 50. And it's like a 35-point win over Devin Booker for the Lakers. I mean, it's not going to be close. I'm feeling pretty confident that the Lakers will beat Booker in a blowout in the second half.
Well, I like that. I like your confidence. That is really big. It's funny. Frostberg just texted me. He goes, hey, did you bet that LeBron doesn't come out? Bet. It's 35-1 for those that missed it earlier in the show that LeBron James wouldn't come out of the locker room for the second half.
Right now, LeBron telling Kyle Kuzma, dude, you know how mad I am at you for the first half? Yeah, I get it, Bron. Do me a favor. Step on my toe. What? Did you step on my toe? Oh, my toe. I can't come out for the second half. I hurt my toe. I can't come out playing this game. I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to leave and go home. I'll see you later on. All right. Just you can find me for the end of the press conference. Oh, man, I hurt my toe. Hey, thanks, Coos. I appreciate it, man.
Things to remember before the game, just like in the other game, right? We'll get to Portland-Denver. Portland favored by 5.5, I believe it was, when that game went off, and they lose by 11. And the Lakers were favored to win tonight.
Well, favored to win because Anthony Davis was going to play. He went through pregame warmups, and look, he was not supposed to play a night ago, and then today he said he felt good enough that if he goes through warmups okay, he will start. And I'm sure going through warmups with his groin injury, you're not going 100% in warmups. You're trying to just test it out, and I'm sure it felt fine. But then when you get to the game and you have to exert yourself, you could tell right away from the game that Anthony Davis wasn't right. I mean, you could tell immediately mm-hmm. that AD just can't play. And there's a difference between playing hurt and playing injured. You know, the old Bill Parcells thing. Oh, I'm hurt. I can't play. No, if you're hurt, you can play. If you're injured, you can't play. And Anthony Davis is injured, right? If he could be a 60 or 70% of what he is, then, yeah, you stay in the game. If he could still do things, yeah, then you stay in the game and gut it out. But clearly, he couldn't do anything. He was limping up and down the court. He couldn't do anything defensively. He asked to come out of the game. He crawled over to the sideline. He clearly couldn't do it. He tried, but when you start to have to run and mean it, and the Suns are going to say, okay, we'll see how healthy you are, AD. We're going to go up and down the floor on you and make you test it out in the first 5 minutes. It's clear that Anthony Davis couldn't do it. So he tried. He gave the big effort, but I remember, and I'll always remember watching him crawl to the sideline, and that's when I said to myself, the Lakers have just changed direction of the franchise. Their franchise has just changed direction watching AD crawl to the sideline. Because what you're finding out is that a 28-year-old Anthony Davis who has injury issues has to start taking care of his body, right? We've heard this before. But you're locked into Anthony Davis. There's nothing you can do. You're paying him. You're locked into LeBron James for another couple of years, all right? These guys are here. LeBron James is older and slowing down. Anthony Davis, you can't trust him to be healthy. So what do the Lakers need to do? A team that was built around the two of them with, hey, Dennis Schroeder can come in. We can spend some money on him, spend some money on Montrezl Harrell, who can come off the bench and score points. And then we like Kyle Kuzma being that next big threat. We don't need to go out and get a third star. We're okay with the team we have because it's built around LeBron and AD. And eventually, as LeBron gets older, AD becomes the number one. The next young player comes in who becomes the 1A to AD. Look, it's how the Lakers have done it for a long time, right? It was Kareem and Magic, and then that segued into Magic. That's how it went, right? And then it came into Shaq, and then it was Shaq and Kobe. And Shaq was one, and Kobe was 1A. Then it was Kobe was one, and Pau Gasol was 1A. And that's just how they did it the entire time. But now that plan is out the window because you can't trust that LeBron James is going to be any better than he is now. And it's a year from now when he's trying to come back and be 37 years old and not be the same player he was. And Anthony Davis, you don't know if he's going to be healthy. So now you have to gut this roster and figure out a way to bring a third star in, whether it's via trade or it's via free agency. But you have to figure that out because if the Lakers go into this next season with this kind of roster, they're lucky if they make the playoffs because I can't count on LeBron to be the guy, and I can't count on AD to be the guy and say suddenly after a year away he's going to be healthy. Now, certainly the potential exists that AD can get it and start taking care of his body, and now, okay, I understand now what it means to be, because groin injuries, you know, you got to be in shape. You know, groin injuries happen when you're not in shape. You don't take care of your body. That's how it goes. But could he be that? Yeah, sure, but you can't risk that if you're the Lakers. You can't say, oh, maybe next year AD will be good. No, you got to go out and say, okay, we don't know what it's going to be like, and our future, we have just changed. We have changed from being a team that is LeBron and AD driven, and maybe it's two or three championships before they're all said and done, to, boy, we're lucky we got that one, and now we have to really do some work if we're going to get another one before LeBron James retires. We really got to find a way to get that third guy in here, whether it's Bradley Beal or you know, LeBron can call Steph Curry and say, Steph, we'll do it. Just come down. I need you. You know, whatever it winds up being, that's got to be the case, because if they don't get that third star, this incarnation of the Lakers and this version of them, oh, they're going to be done quicker than we thought. And instead of a 3-4 year window, it's, hey, they had the window. It was 1 year with AD. They won. Now it's closed.
Yeah, if they listen to me, they had a 48-hour head start on this moment in time. because we said it after the last game. And we've been I've been saying it all along, is with this supporting cast, like, they can't shoot. Like, you've seen it in long stretches. If Anthony Davis isn't there, it doesn't work. And LeBron, look, Father Time gets everybody. You've got to evolve. You've got to change your game. You know, folks citing Tom Brady and look at him. And what, well, different, A, different game. B, different, like, he's got recovery pants. I don't think LeBron has recovery pants. Obviously, tongue-in-cheek. But the idea being that you change your game and you do your best to surround yourself with all kinds of talent. One thing that the Buccaneers had for all of the skill positions everybody wants to quote, go back and look at what they did on the offensive line and how well those five guys played together last year and how good that defense was as well. For LeBron James coming in, you're banking on Davis, and unfortunately the injuries came in. That's why I didn't pick him, right? I just saw Darren Ravel's tweet, 45% of tickets out of the West were, or I think for the title. Let me make sure I verify that correctly as I try to quote it. But the point just being that heavy bets that LeBron would find a way if that were the opportunity with Anthony Davis. And but you had to come into the playoffs going if and but. Yeah, Western Conference from DraftKings Sportsbook, with 45% of the bets were on the Lakers. And I would guess 45% or thereabouts were on the Clippers, with some smattering of Suns, Jazz. No disrespect from us here, but certainly from where people put their money, much different thing, and then a little on the Nuggets. But the winds of change have to be there. Kuzma's not the guy, right? You've learned one thing for once and for all. There's no more, hey, Kyle Kuzma's going to ascend his game. He's a Jag. He'll be in the league for a while, but he's not the three or four. Not five, not six. No, he's just a guy. So, and Dennis Schroeder, you know, I can harp on it, and people can laugh and just say, stop saying it. It's like the fact that he turned down that contract extension is so great for them right now, right? Because LeBron got extended after last season, and everybody's going to start chirping about how legit is the bubble title. That's going to start circulating a little bit as you go. But you've got to that's money you didn't spend. And now you could say, all right, he can come back, but we're not paying him that exorbitant a rate. He can go look for all the money he wants. Let someone else, Knicks, overpay him. Now, when you go find one of these other stars that has the opt-out in their contract and just, you know, start circulating it. Invite them to a banana boat retreat. Invite them to one of your Blaze pizzas. Invite them to the premiere of Space Jam. Whatever it's going to take. Show them the red carpet, literally. And start recruiting now. And that's what the front office should have been doing watching the first few games of this series.
Hi, this is Rob Pelinka. Click. No. I gotta dial the Knicks again. I got to get Julius Randle back. I got to do it. What do you want for Julius? How about Talen Horton-Tucker? Hello. Oh, man. Oh, James Dolan hung up on me again. Probably doesn't even know that I'm a GM. He probably just thinks I'm some guy calling.
I can tell you this, though. If I had a nickel right now, Smith, for all of the LeBron shoulder ... tweets based on his comments a couple games ago with Davis's injury, you know, my shoulders are big enough to lead us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, look, that's what we said. That's the other part of this, is that, okay, AD's injury, but LeBron is old. This is the night where everybody understands LeBron is old. He's not the LeBron of even last fall. He's not the LeBron of last year. He's not the LeBron of 5 years ago. He's not the same. Just because we've seen him take games over doesn't mean he's going to do it. It's like when the Patriots signed Cam Newton and people put all over social media, if this is the Cam Newton the Patriots are getting, Pats are going to win the Super Bowl. Oh, because you showed me a great play from 2014, which was 7 years ago. Right, you're right. I could say to myself, you know what? Hey, the Mets are going to be great. Boy, if we get this Tom Seaver this year from 1973. Boy, it's great. Tom Seaver hasn't played in so long. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, you can't just continue to expect greatness. Well, look, and that's part of who LeBron is, because he slowed his descent and he reinvented himself as a point guard, and that was a terrific thing for 2 years. But clearly now you are seeing he doesn't have those shoulders anymore, and he can't do it. And rather than exhaust himself trying, he's always going to be a guy that says, well, I'm just going to try to start hitting things from three. I'm going to start doing it because that's what I got to do, right? 3-point shots worth more than two. Instead of going, you know, all out to do everything I can. It's going to take a lot of threes. And because that's the right way to do it, try to get back in games. And, oh, by the way, I can't do it. It's like I'm not going to put myself in a position where I look bad. Like I try to drive in and I get blocked or I get knocked to the ground or something happens. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to not put myself in a position where people can criticize me as much as I can. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to take threes, and that's how I'm going to try to get the team back in the game. But he's just not that guy, right? As I watch LeBron James take a three, all right, and put up an air ball. Okay, I just watched LeBron take a three and put up an air ball. As I am talking, I say it here, and it comes out there. That's just what happened in the game.
It's crazy.
He's not
that
player. He's not that player, and that's the big takeaway from this, because LeBron is a bigger star than AD, and yes, AD, but boy, now we're starting to see it. You know, it's that moment when you first – I kind of feel like it's when I first realized, like, my mom was getting old and my grandmother was getting old where, I need to sit down for a second. What do you mean you need to sit down? Let's go. We're going. What do you mean we're going? I need to sit for a second. Okay, and then, you know, you talk to – right? Yeah, hey, Graham's getting old. Oh, okay. I kind of understand that now. She was always full of so much energy when she was 55 or 60, and you know now she's 75 and has slowed down a little bit. It's kind of that moment. It's the basketball moment of seeing when a loved one, okay, they need a little bit more time to do things because they just need a little bit more because they're not the young yes. person they used to be. And you're seeing this on the court now with LeBron, and it's not something that is so evident in watching him that he's running slower or he's panting when he has two up downs. It's you see LeBron, how is he not going to score 30 tonight? How is he not going to score 35 tonight? How is it still a big blowout? How is LeBron James not found a way? And that's the effect of what you see with the Lakers and why you can say, okay, LeBron is not that guy.
The assist leader for the Lakers tonight right now, Marc Gasol with 7. LeBron, 16 of 5 of 11 shooting. Andre Drummond has not entered the game. You hang a star on that because that was, you know, also one of the guys that LeBron wanted to show up. But we've got our injury notes that we were waiting on. Smith, would you like to do the honors or would you like me to
tell America? No, go ahead. You tell America, buddy. Go ahead. And more than America.
We're telling the world. That's right.
We're telling the world.
XM83, the iHeartRadio app, FoxSportsRadio.com, all those affiliates. Anthony Davis will not return. Neither will Alex Caruso. We don't even get second half heroics from Alex Caruso out with an ankle injury. Terrible.
Wow. He's going to trend on Twitter before LeBron does, though. You watch. He will trend
LeBron
before LeBron.
Shoulders are going to be out there with no question about it. People are going to be drawing pictures of him with shoulder pads on and the whole nine yards. Here, this will help you get a little bit bigger.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
And now what happens? The Suns move on to the second round of the playoffs thanks to 47 from Devin Booker. The Lakers go home 113-100. Anthony Davis, injured early in this game, comes out. LeBron James, 29 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, not enough. So now what is next for the former champs? Joining us now on the hotline, former NBA star, our teammate here at Fox Sports 1. You can follow him on Twitter, at the Ryan Hollins. That is at the Ryan Hollins. It is. Ryan Hollins, what's up, man? How you doing?
What is going on, fellas? Are you playing my song in the background?
Of course we are. We're doing this for you. Because, you know, listen, whenever we have a 7-footer on the show, we play a certain song for them.
Oh, my goodness. How you guys doing, man?
Dude, man, this is it's kind of a sea change night, right? I mean, we'll get to Devin Booker, obviously, but clearly, look, the story of the Lakers with AD getting hurt and LeBron shows that, you know, look, he's not quite the same guy he used to be. He's not a I can put the team on my shoulders guy. Do the Lakers have to blow this up and bring in a third star and say, hey, we got to redo this team because how we thought we had it built with a brittle Anthony Davis and aging LeBron isn't going to work anymore? Because I think they need to say, all right, let's move out and move away from some guys and try to get another big star coming in here.
I think that the notion never wasn't there to go out and get a third star. You know, LeBron was quite active in trying to get, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in free agency to the Lakers. He's been whispering in the ears of Steph Curry. So I think it's very clear that you needed a third star. The frustrations and disappointment come with this season is not necessarily in the injuries to LeBron James during the season or Anthony Davis's groin later on in the playoffs, but was the role players. You know, last year, Rondo, McGee, and Howard were excellent. You let those guys walk, and you don't replace them with anything. Anything. They just didn't have the veteran experience and value. And I think those, you know, the replacements were great regular season players, but in the postseason, it never fit. There was never faith in Montrezl Harrell. Dennis Schroeder is not a starter in the league. He's an amazing sixth man and backup. He is a star in that role, which was refused by him. And just there are a lot of question marks. And we're looking at Rob Pelinka. We're going to credit him for the championship. But the same way that Magic Johnson was crucified for bringing in pieces that didn't fit around LeBron James, I think Pelinka is going to have some questions to answer whoever was responsible for these additions. They sacrificed an amazing defense and veteran leadership that brought a championship last year for a bunch of question marks. And that's what you got. And obviously we can all agree you need a third star. We see what the Brooklyn Nets are doing, which could be very likely NBA champs. But the big question mark comes in, where were the rest of the guys? You know, it was incredibly disappointing. It looked like the players on the team didn't know where they fit. They weren't a team. This wasn't the same group that we saw last year. And I don't think last year's group was perfect, but you had guys that bought in and played hard and had experience. And this is a group that was lacking experience. When you look at this Lakers group, name players on this team that you felt like outside of last year's championship, you knew what to expect from them. Love or hate Rondo, you knew what you were getting from him. You knew what you were getting from Dwight Howard. And JaVale McGee was already a world champ before he joined the Lakers.
Yeah, I think the only guy that I would look at was Caruso, but he goes out with the ankle injury. Not that you're expecting monster numbers, but you at least know you're getting the effort. Guy they went and got, Andre Drummond, doesn't even get into the game. So, I mean, yeah. There's a big miss, and that goes back to, is that Pelinka or is that GM LeBron?
No, there's an element where Drummond was available, and I thought that it was a big-time pickup. But there are other pieces. You can't necessarily blame Drummond for that, although he didn't work. But that wasn't a major big-time free agent signing in the offseason. You know, they obviously did some courting of him or a phone call or two to make him feel comfortable to be bought out and come and join the Lakers over the Nets or Miami or the slew of choices that he had. But I wouldn't blame Drummond, but there's just a bunch of pieces that didn't fit. You know, in my opinion, they went offense for defense. They felt like last year's team, the holes that they had were on the offensive end, and I can agree to that, that they completely sacrificed the defensive part, or at least in the playoffs. And yes, you can talk about the Lakers having the number one defense in the league and how great they were. That's because they play slow as heck. They don't run. So you don't run and you minimize possession, your defense is going to be pretty darn good. Okay, that's just the honest to God truth. So I wouldn't buy into that. But, you know, you had a guy in Dwight Howard who could lock up Nikola Jokic, who's going to be the MVP of the league. I think that was extremely understated. And my God, if they got past Phoenix and had to see Jokic, a bona fide post player, he would have had a damn field day. If you think this Phoenix loss was bad, my goodness.
All right, Doug, I'm going to give you a statement, and you give me agree or disagree in the answer. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. After this game tonight, the NBA world got to see LeBron James does not have the extra gear he used to, and officially you can say LeBron's getting old. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Wow.
Agree.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was great. I thought you were going to disagree. That's awesome.
No, well, look. Here's the point. LeBron needs help. He needed help last year, but even more so, he needs help. A young LeBron James could fast. It was a one-man fast break. I remember playing against LeBron, and we'd watch film of him, and he'd be beating three and four guys down the court, and they would have a four or five step head start on him. He was a one-man band.
this isn't the same LeBron James. He needs shooters around him. He needs other playmakers. You know, you don't want him playing against 4 and 5 bodies a night. Now, can he go out and make those plays? Yeah. But as far as the extra efforts, he needs some young guns who can go out and run to where he can be getting those assists. LeBron would love right now if he could sit back and get his James Harden on. And he was an 18 or 17 assist at night guy. But he just, right, he just doesn't have those weapons around him. He doesn't want to be scoring in the 30s and 40s. And tonight, in a night where, you know, it was kind of poised to him go off, Devin Booker drops 47 and LeBron only has 29, even though he played against a wall all night long.
Yeah, what was interesting, though, Ryan, is in this series, perhaps more than ever, you saw him challenged effectively at the rim. You saw the frustration tonight in the second half. They're making a run. He gets blocked at the rim a couple of times. He didn't even start walking down the court to play defense. He's just wearing out the official. It's like, where's LeBron? They're playing 5-on-4. And then he finally would come back. The frustration that he didn't have that extra burst was obvious as well, coming off the ankle and everything. And that frustration showed, I think, in a huge way late in this game.
Started in the last game. He walked off the court during the game. Wasn't even
sure.
Over.
Sure. Five minutes left, right? So
that just lets you know he didn't believe in his teammates. And it showed. You know, they looked like a very disoriented group. But, you know, it is very tough when LeBron's got to stand around and kind of do everything. And there's a midst of where, playing with LeBron, you're frustrated because the ball is in his hands the whole time. And LeBron's frustrated in a sense when he throws you the ball, you know, guys are air banking or just jacking threes, and it doesn't work. And like I said, last year's team was excellent defensively, and their defense led to their offense. And our big question is, can the Lakers score enough? We put that narrative, we pushed that thing all year long, right? And how abysmal the three-point shooting was. But at the end of the day, they defended and they scored and they gave them opportunities. Look over at Dallas. The difference in Dallas from the last two games to the last game where they beat the Clippers is they got stops and they either allowed Luka to have enough possession to where he could be Luka. And this team couldn't get enough stops for LeBron to be LeBron. I mean, Devin Booker. Okay, look at this. Not only does he drop 47, he's 15 of 22 and 8 for 10 from the three-point line. Do you know how efficient that is? Lakers could not keep up, and it ends up only being a 13-point loss, and that was being generous.
Ryan Hollins with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, complete this sentence for me here now. You know, AD leaves the game tonight. He tried to give it a go. Clearly he was injured and couldn't help the Lakers. It was the right call to let him go. Beginning today, Anthony Davis needs to what? What's the future for Anthony Davis right now coming off this game?
One, get healthy. For two, he's got to step into understanding that he has to be a consistent franchise player. He's got to be a guy who's going to take the reins. He's got that type of talent. So he's going to have to change his mindset. And I think whatever he's doing rehab-wise or in the weight room or with the trainer, he's got to double down on that. He's too good to be missing time on the floor. He just is. And at his age, his body should be able to stand through an NBA season. Now, I'm not one that's going to judge another man's injuries or anything like that. But at this point, you know, your body is your business. So he may have to invest more. You know, maybe it's not a 6-hour work day as far as treatment. Maybe it's a 10-hour work day working on his body, you know, digging into his core, you know, changing his diet. You know, at that level that you're asking Anthony Davis to go to, you're asking for obsession to be great, because that's where he's playing in LA. That's the opportunity at hand. And you got arguably the greatest player of all time trying to give you the keys to the kingdom. But if you're not healthy and you're not on the floor, and those are your only question marks, you got to address them somehow.
So some time ago, Chris Carter came up with the phrase that we have to use. I argued that for the first time ever, LeBron James actually has his fall guy in Anthony Davis based on the expectations, the contract, everything else. What say you?
I mean, LeBron's got a couple of falls right now. But you know what? It's odd because I feel like after last year's championship, LeBron has really established himself so much that there's nothing – those same question marks aren't there. They can't be there. the only one that we're going to maybe nag on is LeBron better than Michael Jordan? And people are going to say, I told you so. I told you he was better than Mike. But he has ultimately, right, he's checked off every single box. The only box that you can't just confidently check off is, are you better than Michael Jordan? I mean, my God, what can they do? But you don't look at this team, you don't look at this LeBron James and say, you know, what will we say before? He can't shoot the basketball. Oh, he's not clutch. Oh, he's running from the big shot. He's not doing that. You can't even point in that direction. And you got to look at the young guns and say, man, hey, who is he going to bring up next? The same way that Dwayne Wade helped push LeBron into greatness. You know, can he do that for AD? Can he do that for the rest of these guys? Are the rest of the guys even going to be on the team? You know, and I think the salty swordfish in all the Laker fans are looking over at Jordan Clarkson and saying, man, he looks really great as a sixth man for Utah. Man, Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle, the two former Lakers, the most improved players in the damn NBA, we let those guys go. You can go down the line, Lonzo. You know, improved this year. I don't think anyone's going crazy necessarily over Lonzo, but he improved, you know. So there's a lot of guys that were a part of this Lakers organization that just got to, you know, when it rains, it pours, you're rubbing it in, you know.
They're going to say, Ryan Hollins looks good in that studio, man. Yeah, it's another guy who was right here in L.A. Yeah, Ryan Hollins, man, we had him. We could have had him. So now to talk about the Suns here for a second, they go crazy from 3-point range to win this game. And now, and you know, clearly, look, Devin Booker, you know, his 47-point night tonight, he even increased his superstardom. Is this a Suns team that can go and win it all? Because honestly, for most of this series, it was kind of a mess series. You know, the Suns didn't play that great. The Lakers didn't play that great. You had both teams being injured. You believe, can Devin Booker lead this team, or are they going to run into trouble next round against the Nuggets or moving on from there?
The West is wide open. Everybody wants to point to Utah, but I'm like, Utah just beat a very young 8 seed. They're an 8 seed for a reason, and we just found out the Lakers were a 7 seed for a reason. You feel me? So I think it's wide open. You know what? There's a little birdie telling me I still really like the Clippers. You know, Dallas is just a horrific matchup for the Clippers. Luka has their number. But the Clippers could very easily match up against Utah or Phoenix and have a field day because they can switch pick and rolls and play different styles. And, you know, they got a closer in Kawhi Leonard when needed. You know, we know that that's in there. So I still am going to point at the Clippers. I think Utah has looked excellent. I think the question marks they've had is to have guys who can break their man down off the bounce. And Conley, Clarkson, and Mitchell have been absolutely, I wouldn't say dominant, but they're a huge improvement from what they'd have. It had. It's not just the Donovan Mitchell show. You got to like Utah. So, and I think Phoenix is playing well. I think just at some point, you know, the Lakers put up no resistance. They were so bad defensively. I don't even know what to make of Phoenix. I mean, Devin Booker ran amok, and he's really darn good. But, like they look like, yo, like, are you guys ready to play in the playoffs right now? Man. There were moments that the Lakers were a bad team, man. They were bad.
Well, and a limited Chris Paul, who came alive in the fourth to help close this comeback out. How about the Eastern Conference? You mentioned Brooklyn really quickly before. The question, I guess, with so many of these teams, Ryan, has been, can you count on guys to stay healthy, and will the big three be able to get you through another month with Embiid hurt? The Bucks are circling the wagons and suddenly that much more dangerous.
Yeah, it's just tough. We have to get this matchup now. And it's the Nets and the Bucks, and that this could be the NBA Finals that we're looking at. I mean, you got three of the better defenders in the league, and Giannis, PJ Tucker, and Drew Holiday going against three of the most elite scorers. The most talented individual scoring combination of players that we have ever seen in our lifetime, of guys that you just cannot guard with the Nets and KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. So that is going to be a dogfight, twos for threes, guys, and we'll see how that ends up panning out. But I think the Bucks may be the Nets' worst nightmare to a degree, and hopefully we'll see if Joel Embiid can get healthy. But I don't think Atlanta. I'm not necessarily worried about Atlanta if I'm Philadelphia, even without Embiid. I think that they're going to have enough because their size, their depth. I mean, they have a monster front and back line over there in Philly, even without Embiid.
You can follow him on Twitter at the Ryan Hollins. That is at the Ryan Hollins. Remember, beginning of the year, Ryan Hollins picked the Knicks to win the NBA championship. They came very close before getting knocked out. Ryan, as always, buddy, appreciate your time, man. Have fun. I know we'll talk next week as the playoffs roll on.
Anytime, guys, man. You guys keep killing it, man.
You're awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Always great stuff with Ryan Hollins. Honestly, I didn't think he was going to agree with me on LeBron. But, you know, he made a great point that, look, clearly, look, as I said, LeBron is not dynamic anymore. He's not a player that can take over games. He doesn't have the extra gear, and it's not something that he can do. Maybe he thinks he can do it, but he can't. And that's a big deal when you talk about the Lakers and when they eat that big reality sandwich tomorrow morning going, oh, boy, we really need something else. But clearly, hey, that's a great point by Ryan Hollins, is that if you can bring shooters in that allows him to become a point guard and be that guy who sees the floor, and maybe he doesn't score 25 or 27 a game anymore, but if he is kind of a James Harden light where he can score 20 or 22, but he leads the league in assists by a large margin because he can throw up 13 or 14 a game, you know, that's really where it's at. That's how you're going to extend LeBron's prime and whatever he has left. But, boy, it really is. I mean, there's nobody who's not available besides LeBron and Anthony Davis. And you got AD who is banged up and LeBron in the contract. Everybody else is available, and it's a complete reconfiguration of this roster. And I give Rob Pelinka a lot of credit because he put together a championship team and a team that won in the bubble, one of the most difficult championships to try to win. It was a fantastic achievement, but things change in the NBA fast, and the Lakers have gotten old and injured overnight. Right, it happens that fast in the NBA. You go from we have another 2 or 3 year run to now, boy, we are old and need changes, and that's what happened to the Lakers. It's going to be huge sea change for them after this year.
Yeah, and I just got to say, I'm really happy that Ryan agreed with me because that was my assessment of the next phase of LeBron James. So point Harmon. I think I said that about an hour ago. Yeah, that was the next. I didn't have the James Harden comparison, but, right. You know, like pat on the back to me. No, I love listening to Ryan. Always just great thoughts. Guy who played in the league a decade. So he knows the ins and outs and hell, played against a bunch of these guys, so he knows their tendencies, and including the work ethic. I mean, that long physiology advanced degree that we got talking about all the things that Anthony Davis needs to do, because he didn't stop at one. He gave you the full menu of all the things physically that he had to do to become the dominant guy and keep himself, well, in uniform instead of street clothes.